Jesus Christ.
And I speak to you in God's holy name, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. This is the first Sunday of Advent, as we know. And this Sunday is designated as Sunday of Hope. And hope is hard to have when we hear all the foreboding that is about us, like was spoken about in the Gospel. There was this sense of foreboding about what's happening to the planet. We all are aware of it. We hear it all the time. We experience it. We see less songbirds than we used to see. There are less bugs around, which feeds the birds. We know there's a crisis afoot. And we know that we have a responsibility laid on us as humans who caused the problem to try and resolve the problem. And in the midst of this, we have this Sunday of Hope, where we celebrate the preparedness in our hearts for the birth of Jesus in a few short weeks when we celebrate that birth. And it's hard to have hope when we face all these things. How do we have hope? Well, we've been looking at hope for the last few weeks, and we continue today. We know there's two types of hope. There is hope that comes from within, known as intrinsic hope. And then there's hope that comes from without, extrinsic hope. And sadly, the Christian church for many years has focused itself on extrinsic hope instead of really teaching us the meaning of hope that Jesus taught, and that is intrinsic hope. What I want to share today is that there are 10 foundations of hope that we can all focus ourselves upon and build upon in these dark seasons. No matter who we are, no matter what our station in life, no matter what our illness is, there are these 10 places of hope that we can have. Because when you have hope, you have life. And life brings with it hope. Those of you who have children, remember the day of the birth of your children. Remember that time where you, as dads, you may have seen your baby for the first time. Moms, when you held the baby after birth. Remember the hope you had in that child. What your expectation was, what you thought would be there. Or maybe you haven't had a child, but you've held a child and watched the child develop, and you have that sense of their peacefulness, their joyfulness, their love, and their hope. And those are the themes, of course, of Advent. So the joyfulness of hope. So what can give rise to hope? Well, the first is that, as we know, the seasons outside, there is a death happening every year. It's an annual event where everything goes into dormancy for the winter. But we know that when there's death, there's always life afterwards. Birth always follows death. There's birth for ourselves, our souls, and we birth with God. But there's also a birth on the planet. We know there's a life cycle. And we can always have hopefulness that there's always something new emerging. And something new will be emerging on the planet as well. But birth always follows death, and we can have hope in that. We also know that we know more now than we used to know. And that fact of more knowledge gives us more hope. I want to give you an example of thinking about climate change. Who knew that people have been able to devise a way of making concrete that captures carbon? And carbon dioxide and monoxide was made most from, one of the big sources of it has been the making of concrete in the past. And they're now able to capture those gases and put them back into concrete as if it was put back into stone. So we can have hope that there are people working at technological advances that will give us hope for a future which is not so dire as we have predictions of it coming. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to inspire people who work in these areas to help resolve climate change. A third, the future is uncertain. It is always a surprise. We don't know how the future will unfold and change, but we can have hope that the future, because everything is not known, we can have a dire prediction today and it not be so later on. An example in my own life is my daughter, Heather. I remember when Heather was born, Heather is autistic. And she didn't really communicate with anybody until she was about 5. And the only way we communicated together was I would sit on the floor and spin pot covers with her. And she would laugh at the flash and the noise. But eventually she started to speak and get involved. And they predicted that she would die by the age of 12. And 2 months ago, she turned 46. There's always hope. Always, it's important to have hope. Not false hope, but just have a hope from within. An intrinsic hope that while there's life, there's hope. Another reason to be hopeful. That we who solved the problem, similar to the second one I gave you, that we who caused the problem can solve the problem. I mean, I was amazed the other day, yesterday, I did an anti-racism workshop for the diocese in All Saints in Ladner. And there was a number of millennials there. And really the first time I worked with a lot of people under 40 and under in age. And I was amazed we started talking in one of the breaks about climate change and how many of them had decided intentionally to be vegan. And I said, well, why is that? They said, well, it can be a way that we can help the planet. That we have made an intentional decision. I really miss my hamburger, but it's more important that I miss my hamburger and have life for children I have and grandchildren I may have. And so, while there's always life, there's hope. We who solve the problem can also solve it by imaginative thinking. A fifth is, we have to start thinking globally. We have had in the past, you know, think about 100 years ago when this church was new and just built. There was no such thing as the telephone. It was just being invented. There was just electricity was coming into the scene with Thomas Edison and Westinghouse. And what strides have been done in the last 100 years. But in those years, everybody thought in their own little silo. Your community was all there was. But we are charged today because communication helps us know what's happening. Like I was amazed they just had all the leaders down in Argentina. And the signal and the TV and the sound from Argentina, it was as if it was in Toronto. It was amazing to me how improved communication is around the world. Well, we have to think globally ourselves. We have to just move beyond our own little bubble and start moving out and thinking globally. So this is an issue which takes all of us together. So when you meet people who are not from the Christian family, you meet people who have no faith, start to talk to them about climate change and how we have hope if we work together. And we in our own selves have to have an understanding that it's not just us, but it's all of us working together. It's a common subject, as Thomas Berry reminds us, not just an object. Another way in which we know that we can have hope, intrinsic hope from within us, is that new communication in international agreements. The Paris Accord, while not perfect and not everybody is living up to it, at least it gives us a standard of what we can reach to. And we can have hope in that. I mean, in this season, we have to find hope from within. The next one, number six, is history is a positive. Social change is possible. and look at how social change has changed over the last 50 years, 60 years. Incarceration is better. We have less number of people going into prison today than ever before, though you wouldn't know it from the media. But it's true statistically. We know that better results of people who have been incarcerated of not committing new crimes is better than ever before. Again, that doesn't help people get votes, but it is true. And the other thing is that we've come so far in understanding and dealing with child abuse. When I was first ordained 48 years ago, it was not the law if somebody told you about a child abuse situation that you had to report it. Today, we do report it. And the amount of child abuse is going down, actually. And that's really good news. So, history is positive, and social change is positive, and we ourselves can be a part of that. And so we can have hope. Another milestone for us is a responsibility to be hopeful. We ourselves have to be hopeful. Some from within. I often think of the Bozo clown. You know that balloon that's weighted in the base and you push it over and it pops up again? Well, that's what I try to be. There's days I don't want to be hopeful, but I really say, you know, as long as I have life, I have to have hope. So a lot of this is an attitude. Do we have an attitude of poor me and everything is bad? Or do we have an attitude as long as I have life, I have hope? And I believe that as Christians, with the saving power of Jesus, and the love of God and the Holy Spirit alive in us, we can be people of hope. And as people of hope, we will move forward. Hope is infectious. Have you ever noticed people when they come around you who are hopeful and bright, how it lifts you up? I don't want to embarrass Dorothy, but this morning at Bible study, she came in bringing quiches and singing. And it was so lovely. It just lifted the room up. It was hopeful and bright. And I thought, wow, it's very infectious. And Dorothy, I didn't mention it to her, but she was actually doing my sermon as she walked into the room this morning. And we have to help the next generation be hopeful. It's too easy. Like in this group I worked with yesterday, it was very interesting. Not only were they thinking about being vegan, but one of them said, I'm not going to have children because I don't want to bring children into this mess. And I said, well, I understand that. But if you have a desire to have a child, have the child, because you don't know that maybe the genes between you and the father of the child will produce a genius who will help to solve the problem. So you always have to have hope in the next generation. And we have to be that way. Bring a vision of hope. Are there other options? Our number 10. There are always options. For we know that the power of prayer is awesome. That there have been people who were thought to be dying, and people prayed for that person, and that person recovered against all odds. We never can put down, as much as we may want to be scientists and literalists and concretists, but we always have to know that the power and the presence of God is real and alive. That's why we're here. We are the people of prayer. We are the people of love. We are the people of God. And as that, we are also the people of hope. And so today, as we receive the sacrament and we get ourselves ready for Christmas, think about the hopefulness that you hold in your hearts. And focus on the hope and not the darkness. May God bless us all. Amen.